Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app.
Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get 6-ounce packs of juicy raspberries or blackberries for $1.88 each with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You all right, bud?
Mm-hmm.
You're all right?
Not dying yet.
How are you? How are you? Hi.
How was Christmas? This is the first time that I've seen everybody for...
No kidding.
Shit. A month?
Christmas?
Since a Christmas party.
Crixmix was good.
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah, you were at the party.
Mm-hmm.
Crixmix was good. Happy that it's over. I actually, on our feed, our audio feed, put... our old Christmas episode just to trigger people. Cause you know, after Christmas is over, people are like, I don't want to see the Santa hat. I don't want to hear any of the Christmas music. Like, I am done. So I put that out just so people would like be triggered a little bit. And
what
I called it Christmas ain't over till the Covina massacre.
Jesse, oh. I got a better idea.
Okay, what?
You got to hit them with the best of 2024.
Listen, next year when I'm more, you know, have a little bit more time, I think that's...
Podcast listeners love a best of episode.
Do
Who
they?
Doesn't love a best of episode?
There's nothing I like better than listening to shit that I already listened to.
Every show that I listened to that did a best of. Did you guys? Sorry. Did Softcore?
No. We do fresh episodes.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, nobody wants that. Nobody wants the best of. They want a live episode of you guys talking about best moments.
Oh, that can be
But
cool.
They don't want clipped together, hastily edited by your assistant. You know what I mean? Uh-uh.
No, I'd prefer they just... If you can't make a new episode, just don't release an episode.
Just
say you're on break.
Be on break.
Yeah.
That's what we did. And then I put out a triggering episode that forces people to go through Christmas all over again in a really horrible way.
I was festive the entire time I was in Pennsylvania. I would have loved it.
Is it cold? Is it snowy?
It snowed Christmas Eve, but it was 60 degrees the day after Christmas.
Oh.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Wow, can you get a more perfect... Listen, I'm telling you, Philly is where it's motherfucking at, dude.
I miss
New
it,
York,
actually.
New York, done.
I went back, and I'm like, I could be back in Delco.
Listen, what a life you would have, huh? What a life you could have there. You'd be big man on campus. You'd be the big fish,
in
right?
In Ridley Township, maybe. But once you get to, like, Center City, Philly, actually in Philadelphia, I would be just another guy.
Oh, yeah. All right. Just eating hoagies, right?
is that a Philly accent?
No, I'm working on it.
Yeah.
Delco is one of those that's like, if you can get it right...
You sound like you're crying or whining the entire time. You're complaining the entire time, really. It's like, yeah, we're going down the shore, grab some hoagies, yeah.
Hoagies, yeah, it's like
oh,
a hoagies.
Okay.
Right? Do you know it was ladies' night? Is it ladies' night at the hoagie store?
Almost went into New Zealander there
right?
for a second.
It's like right on the edge of that. You always do pirate. I always do New Zealand. It is what it is, right? It's the one that we perfected. Listen, welcome to Jesse Wiseman's Crime Corner. I am your host, Jesse Wiseman, and I am joined by my co-hosts, Matt Cooperson, and Dan Delco, as we were just talking about from Softcore History and... You know, ones and twos on some drinking bros, you know?
Yeah, every now and then. I think I've seen them on there once or twice.
Couple of hoagies. Today, we've got another fun and flirty episode for you that's got all of our favorite things. A 30-year-old murder case, an evil German doctor,
oh, yeah.
And a heroic father hell-bent on getting revenge. This is the story of Kalinka Bamberski.
Authorities are desperately searching for a killer accused of going on a rampage.
The search for a possible serial killer.
An urgent manhunt for a man authorities believe is behind a triple killing spree.
Police here speculating that a possible serial killer may have struck again.
I told her to get out of the car, and that's when she became afraid, and then I shot her.
Nailed it.
Did I I say it right?
Yep.
Okay. So just a little bit about this case. German, 30 years old, very German, right?
Yeah.
Poland, German. I am going to pause in front of every name and have Coop just pronounce it because it is.
Say it angrily.
Oh, yeah.
Do your best like Hitler.
Kalinka Bamberski.
Bamberski.
I don't know if I do a German. I knew. Bamberski. No, I can't.
Yeah, that was good.
I need to do. You do a great Hitler because you love him.
Well,
what is
Coop? I've been watching some videos last couple of weeks. Really, just getting in the zone.
Into the Hitler zone.
That's how I spent my Christmas. Also.
Oh my gosh! I need to hear a German accent really quick. Pull something up, Delco, for me really quick.
Okay,
I've got some.
Literally, just someone speak. I like cannot in my.
I've got some head. Speeches saved on my phone. I'll pull those.
Oh yeah, of course, of your hero. This is, you were real hell-bent on doing this case because you love Nazi Germany. And
I wouldn't say I love Nazi Germany.
Respect it.
I think they're misunderstood to
He likes the uniforms, really.
Sure. Yeah. And by the way.
Stylish.
They did have great uniforms.
Just normal, not even Hitler, but like a normal German talking. You think this is best?
They
okay.
all sound like
Meine Arbeit.
That Arbeit.
Du Richtigkeit.
Nein.
Du glaubst. Dass ich fleißig gewesen bin,
Kalinka.
Dass ich gearbeitet habe,
dass Bamberski.
Ich dieses Jahr für dich eingesetzt habe, dass ich anständig meine Zeit verwendet habe im Dienste meines Volkes.
Coop is getting fired up right now.
I'm locked in.
He is like so in awe. Okay, thank you, Delco. Thank you so much. That's not what I asked for, but you knew it's what Coop wanted. So
I'll get you. I got you.
We appreciate it. Even like someone speaking English with a German accent. Like, I cannot place it in my head.
There's a lot of Z's instead of TH.
I think Z-Jews. Yes.
Isn't it kind of gay? It's like a gay Russian.
Right? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Actually, that's a pretty good way to describe it. Almost like a constantly offended Russian.
Yeah. Okay. Ooh, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Christoph Waltz nails it.
Christoph Waltz.
He's an actual German.
Yes. Perfect. I think it's because I was trying to do the Delco accent. I, like, literally cannot. I couldn't even do New Zealand right now, if you ask me. Isn't that horrible?
That's really
wow,
weird.
Wow, that's really bad, huh?
Yeah, you kind of accidentally fall into that in casual conversation a lot of times.
A lot of times.
Hammersmark, was führt Sie nach Frankreich?
Was ist Frankreich?
Frau Hammersmark.
Sie nichts an.
German speaking German can sound tough, but anytime that they're speaking English sounds pretty
it goes
gay.
Real gay. You're absolutely right. That's why Christoph Waltz is very, it's like a scary feminine energy, right?
The worst parts of men and women all combined into one.
Oh. All right. Well, I might be able to drop into it, but you guys don't want that. Do you know what I mean? Maybe I'll just do New Zealand. mix it up.
Just
you
be
do New
kiwi.
Zealand, I'll do pirate.
Yeah, I'll just do a kiwi for this really deeply German story. All right. So you presented this case to me as like a real life Taken.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we're going to go with this. I think it's great. We're one of the, there's only two other episodes at this point of all crime podcasts that have done this case. So it's an interesting one. It's there's a couple of tough moments, but I think in the end you will be inspired.
Yeah, I do think it has a happy ending. Yeah. As happy as it can be. On October 17th, 2009, police in Mulhouse, France, responded to a report of an injured man lying on the street near the police station. When they arrived on the scene, they discovered a 74-year-old man lying alongside the road. He had been severely beaten and chained to a fence, leaving him with a fractured skull and multiple contusions. When questioned by the police, the elderly man told them that his name was Dieter Krombach, and we actually have a picture of him roughly around the same time, a highly respected doctor from Germany.
Dieter Krombach.
Dieter Krombach.
Krombach.
Krombach wasn't sure where he was. According to him, the last thing he remembered was being attacked by three masked men outside of his home in Schiedig, Bavaria. And so I tried to learn how to pronounce that.
Okay.
And even after hearing it, like, my mouth just couldn't make the shapes. I'm not German enough.
Okay.
The unknown assailants had then driven him to France, leaving him chained to a fence alongside the road. After discovering Krombach, police quickly made two arrests. The first was the arrest of his...
That's Dieter Krombach. Oh, those glasses.
Yeah.
Chic.
Even without knowing, you'd be like, yep, German doctor.
Don't like him. Anyway.
The first was the arrest of a man in his mid-70s named Andre Bomberski. We've got a picture of him, too. There's Andre.
Thank you, sir. Killing it.
The retired accountant was found calmly sitting in a nearby hotel room waiting for the police to arrive. The second arrest they made that day was that of Dieter Krombach himself, the man who had just been beaten.
What?
The abduction and arrest had been the final part of a 30-year-long plan for revenge.
See? Inspiration.
It is a good goddamn story.
Inspiration.
Now, I'll tell you one thing. If Germans do something wrong, somebody eventually is going to track them down and make them pay for it. Unless they go to Argentina.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of places they can go.
Argentina's God's blind spot.
Yeah. We were talking about before the show, you know, German, not great human relations, right? Civil rights, stuff like that. But gosh, can they make a car? Right?
They make good machines because they are good machines.
They are good machines.
They can relate to them.
They don't mind, you know, foregoing safety of humans to make good machines. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They'll do whatever they have to do.
Really hard to please. Whether it's with your career, sexually.
Sure.
All types of things. It's hard to please a German.
Man. Yeah. If you ever go to those sicko flicks on fucking porn, it's always Germans, dude.
Oh, God.
It's always Germans in the leather doing some fucking weird butt stuff.
It's like getting pulverized.
Yeah, dude. Like, they just want to be beaten the fuck up. They want their penises to have nails in it and shit.
America did something weird to Japan and Germany because both of those countries are two biggest enemies in World War II. After that, they were never the same.
We fucked them
Japan's
up
got
sexually.
all the weird tentacle porn and
bathroom.
And
they're really into bathroom stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same with the Germans, surprisingly. I've never
Germans
really
are into poop, yeah.
It's almost like they're punishing themselves for something. What? I don't know.
God knows.
I can't tell me anything that the Germans have done wrong. I've asked you repeatedly, and you were like, from where I stand, nothing.
What,
right?
They gave up?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Coop was telling me before the show, he's like, I don't think it was 6 million.
Yeah.
No, there's no possible way. Germans are way more efficient than that. If they were going to do it, they'd finish the job.
Right. There'd be no such thing anymore. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Of, you know. But anyway, we digress into Coop's fascinations. But Andre Bomberski was born in France sometime around 1938. Not long after his birth, his father decided to move the family back to his native Poland to be closer to his family.
Polacks.
Oh, you want to be a Polack?
God, no.
Those of you familiar with European history will know that this was a very bad time to live in Poland. In 1939, when Germany invaded Poland, baby Andre was kidnapped by German soldiers and held in captivity for over 6 years before finally being reunited with his family. Once the war ended, Andre and his family moved to France, where he completed his education. Growing up, Andre was known for being exceptionally intelligent, especially with numbers. He was also said to have a nearly photographic memory, which, when combined with his talent for math, made him a very capable accountant. Using his skills, he was able to make a very comfortable living for him and his future family. He's right in the shit of it.
Yeah.
There's competing stories, and as we know, we don't get the whole truth of that time. But there's a couple stories that they moved with the whole family to Poland. There's stories that he was sent on his own to live with grandparents, and then France was, you know,
France gave up and just left him
taken,
there.
Taken, and then he couldn't go back. What, you know, but again, you don't really get a clear story of this time.
There's, I'm sure that's because of how many documents and stuff were destroyed because of the war, mm-hmm. but there's no firm birth date for Andre Bamberski. There's no firm birth date for Dieter Krombach.
Right.
Like, not very many documents lasted through the Blitz.
Right.
In the mid-60s, Andre packed up his calculator and pocket protector and moved to the city of Casablanca in Morocco. Fun fact, I didn't know that was a city. I thought it was a movie. I felt so retarded when I when I was like, oh, wait, that...
Boy, that, okay. You thought it was a fake hotel in a movie. Okay.
There, he met a beautiful young woman named Danielle Gonin. After a whirlwind romance, Andre and Danielle got married, and in 1967, they welcomed their first child into the world, a precious little girl named Kalinka.
Aww.
A few years later, Danielle gave birth to their second child, a son named Nicholas. Nobody really seems to care about Nicholas because there's no information on that fucking kid.
Yeah, well.
Although they had a little slice of heaven in Morocco, Andre eventually decided that there were better business prospects back in France. So in 1974, Andre, Danielle, Kalinka, and Nicholas moved back to France to settle down on the outskirts of Toulouse. Not long after arriving in France, their peaceful family life began to unravel. Mm. And we're getting into why one of the many reasons that I have an issue with the French.
Oh.
Casual adultery.
Can we all agree that the French kind of suck?
Yeah.
Anyone?
I've been saying that for quite a few years now.
I kind of give the French a lot of credit for our country.
How so?
Well, first off, the American Revolution. We don't win it without France.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Also, we're talking about just the
we
people.
We would have eventually.
The personalities. Have you ever met a French person?
I like it. It's kind of like a Northeasterner, really.
Hmm.
Like anyone from New York, Boston, Philly, kind of have a similar attitude to the French. Like, fuck off.
Have you met a dude?
A French person.
A French dude. Something fucking weird about a French dude out here.
For sure.
No?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I read The Stranger.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah. It's just like, I mean, I think we can all agree.
Listen, I just want to play devil's avocado here.
Yeah. No, you don't have to agree.
I think all you need to know about France is in France, it's literally illegal to do paternity tests. Because infidelity is so common. It's something like 5 out of 8 couples
now we know
have cheated on their spouse.
Do you know why Lafayette came to America?
To get some ass?
No. He was like one of the only good Frenchmen. Like he was faithful to his wife, and the French court didn't trust him because of that.
See, that's...
So they sent him over here.
That's all you need to know about the French.
Right.
So I was going to write in some stuff about...
How much you hate... French people. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I do that in most episodes,
sure.
Whether or not it's in regards to France,
sure.
Or not. But I was going to make some references to, like, the first heroic Frenchman since Vercingetorix. He was a guy who fought Caesar way back in the day.
Sure.
But no, it's a Polish guy.
Yeah.
So still not giving France the credit.
Nope. Unfortunately for Andre, his bad luck with Germans wasn't over. After already losing a portion of his childhood to the Nazis, Andre was now going to lose his wife to a horny kraut. Unbeknownst to Andre, Danielle had begun having an affair with a successful doctor named Dieter Krombach. What do you think?
That's good.
That's good, right?
That's good. It's like the harsher you make the consonants.
Yes. Yeah, like he was saying, be angry and like the...
Yeah,
you know,
that's a great name to like curse to the sky. Like,
right. Yes, very good. Lots of, you know, phlegm in the throat, I think, is what they have as well.
Been their neighbor in Casablanca.
Neighbor, sorry.
Crime juice.
Crime juice. Only a couple sips, guys, already. Only a couple sips. So had been their neighbor in Casablanca, the real place, not the fake hotel that Coop thought it was.
It was real to me.
living only a few houses down the street from the Bamberskis. Andre not only knew who Dieter was, he had considered him a friend during their time in Morocco. After the Bamberskis moved back to France, Dieter followed, renting an apartment not far from their new home outside Talhouse?
Toulouse.
Oh, Toulouse. There, Dieter and Danielle continued their affair for a number of months before finally being discovered by Andre. Once their extramarital... What?
That motherfucker already starts an affair with this guy's wife in Morocco, and then she moves back to France with her family, her husband and her two children. This piece of shit gets a place in France so he could live near her and keep banging.
Yeah, but they were, like, all friends. So if you're Andre, you should be like, bro, why? Oh, now you're going to move there right next to us? Like, we're not that close,
yeah,
are
Dieter,
we?
Dieter and Andre definitely were not that close. It was
they
like
they were neighbors, acquaintances, yeah.
Yeah.
So to be like, oh, interesting. And we're not going to really hang out, but you and my wife are going to. Okay.
Spend a lot of time together, especially those late nights.
Yeah, seems normal. Come on down, bud. Get you an apartment right next to
and
us.
And coming from France, I think that must have been how he figured it out. Is he's like, oh, we're in France. Obviously, she's cheating.
They play real fast and loose over there. Once the extramarital activities had been revealed, Andre and Danielle got a divorce. It would seem that Danielle was more interested in Dieter's bratwurst than she was in raising their children. Boom, Coop. Still got it.
Danielle was a piece of shit. I guarantee
he doesn't
that.
Have the headphones, but he's playing the Seinfeld theme right now.
Blam. Yeah, I'll throw them on just so I can.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You need to hear the sound effects for sure. So as she left the family in 1977 and moved to Germany with Dieter, Andre was left behind in France to care for their two children on his own, which I think sucked, but he wanted to have the children there. It wasn't, right?
Yeah, he was
definitely a dad that was, like, wanted his kids.
Very involved with
him.
The kids.
Yeah, yeah.
He was very, I don't know how insistent, like, in the initial divorce, I don't know how much they had to fight over the kids, but the only information that I was able to find about the divorce was Danielle was completely unapologetic.
Right.
Was, you know, mean towards him, like, fine, take the kids, I'm going to Germany.
Right.
For the next 5 years, Andre raised Kalinka and Nicholas as a single father. Having only one income, the cost of supporting his family eventually became too much for him to afford. In 1980, Andre announced that he would be taking the children and moving back to Morocco, where the lower cost of living would give them a better quality of life. Danielle, however, wasn't having any of that.
Okay, so now she wants to have a say.
Now she wants the kids.
Okay.
Again, there's not a whole lot of detailed information about, like, these early portions of the case, but the information that I could find was it seemed like it was sort of vindictive. Like, oh, no, you're...
You
can't move. You're not taking
the kids
away. I
just don't want you to be happy, whatever that is.
Yeah, kind of thing. Upon hearing that Andre was moving to Morocco, Danielle took him to court and fought for sole custody of the children. She claimed that Andre was only moving to prevent her from seeing her children, which he rarely did as it was. The court ruled in favor of Danielle, and in 1981, Kalinka and Nicholas moved to Lindau, Germany, to live with their mother and their new stepfather, Dr. Dieter Krombach.
No matter what it is, that just doesn't sound good.
Krombach.
You're moving to Lindau, Germany, with your stepfather, Krombach.
And especially, like, this is...
With your mom that didn't even want you, was only taking you to, like, piss off your dad.
Before the fall of the Berlin Wall, they hardly... Like, this Dieter guy wasn't a major figure in their life after the divorce because, you know, he's off living with their mom in Germany. It's not like they're all spending
weekends
together.
They don't even know him.
And shit like that.
Krombach honestly sounds like a chiropractor that's not licensed.
Krombach. It's a great, like... For all the names we could have had, right? Krombach.
It really is good. It could be a good Indiana Jones villain.
Dieter.
Dr. Krombach.
Dr. Krombach. Much to the surprise of no one, the amoral German doctor turned out to be a shitty stepfather. Kalinka and Nicholas were miserable in their new German home, which Krombach ran like the Third Reich. Reich. Krombach was verbally and mentally abusive towards the children, and unbeknownst to Andre, sexually abusive as well. We already said the Germans, it's just fucked up.
You can trust them with...
It's always going to be sexual.
Trust them with vehicles and nothing else.
And nothing else. And a dog, the German Shepherd.
German Shepherd,
smart,
good dog.
Smart, you know? Bad hips, but my gosh, everything else.
They don't need to live long. They just need to break up a few protests.
They need
and then
to
they can
do their fucking job. Yeah. Sexual abuse. Yes, we were when we were saying to Delco we're doing a German case. He's like, oh, is it sexual? Do you know what I mean? It's like, yes, it is. Sorry. It always is with those motherfuckers. During this time, all Andre could do was visit his children as often as possible while continuing to fight for custody in court, which back in the day, and even more so now, for a dude is very hard, no matter how fucked up the mom is. After nearly 2 years of legal battles, Andre was finally able to convince the court to grant him custody of his children once again. Kalinka and Nicholas would spend one last summer with their mother and stepfather, after which they would be allowed to return to France to live with Andre. Sadly, tragedy would strike before the family could be reunited. On Saturday, July 10th, 1982, what up? Andre received a heartbreaking phone call from his ex-wife, Danielle. Their 14-year-old daughter, Kalinka, had been found dead in her bed. At some point in the night before, she had fallen asleep and never woke up. Andre was devastated. So it's reported that this call is very nonchalant and just kind of like, hey, so just wanted to let you know Kalinka's dead.
You remember Kalinka?
Do you remember your daughter that you fought for? You know her, right? She's dead. So sorry.
Bye.
It was like really... It was a phone call. He was no details, no nothing, casual. Sorry to let you know. What?
Yeah. And, I mean, just
sound
completely out of the blue. I think the callousness of it is, it's just unimaginable to me. Kalinka's sudden death was a mystery to everyone. She was healthy and active with no underlying health issues that could have played a part in her death. Due to the suddenness, an autopsy was conducted the following day with German authorities, which German authorities claimed showed no signs of foul play. It's just following orders.
Yes.
No definitive cause of death was found aside from trace amounts of undigested food in her lungs, which officials believed may have caused her to choke to death in her sleep. To me, that's kind of an obvious cause of death. She aspirated on undigested food.
Yeah, well, she has undigested food in her stomach and then a little bit in her lungs, which means, like, the death was sudden. Like,
yeah.
She was awake, doing stuff, and died.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it would be more digested and anyway.
Over the following days, Andre was able to piece together a timeline of his daughter's final moments. And it should be noted that him getting any information about this was like pulling teeth, whether it was from the German authorities or from his ex-wife. Getting any information, he was being stonewalled everywhere. He had to go out of his way to get it on his own. He had to go around Dieter and Danielle to actually really get any information about it.
And do you say anywhere that Dieter was actually in the room of the autopsy?
We'll talk about that in a minute. The day before her death, she had gone windsurfing at a nearby lake, after which she returned home and had dinner. Following dinner, she told her stepfather that she wasn't feeling well and planned on going to bed early. It's also, remember, she planned on going to bed early because she wasn't feeling well. Before she went to sleep, her stepfather gave her an injection of a cobalt iron tincture, which he often gave to family members to help with anemia and a lack of sun exposure. The story changed a lot. It was confirmed that friends and family members, he would give them injections of, you know, a number of different things when they asked for them. They kind of played things fast and loose with the drugs back then.
Which, like, normally you want, right?
Oh,
come
yeah.
on down, live with me, except for this shit.
Cobalt iron, whatever the
so
fuck
it
that
was for
is.
Tanning, which is... the weirdest thing, but I guess if you're giving it to people with anemia or the pallor is, you know what I mean? Like very pale or almost, you know, blue, gray, whatever, grayish, that will help to make it look more tan.
Yeah, that's why the Germans famously have great tans.
Ugh.
Not pale at all.
Get me some.
So he gave her the injection of the cobalt iron tincture, which he often gave to family members to help with anemia and lack of sun exposure. Sometime around midnight, Krombach went into Kalinka's room to tell her to turn off the light and go to bed. The next morning, she was gone. So she went to bed early, but she was still sitting up awake with the light on, and he had to go in and tell her to go to sleep.
And there was undigested food, which means at that point, when he's going in there, she would have been dead.
Yeah, if it's a number of hours after they had dinner, because they had dinner at the normal time, you know, mm-hmm. early to mid-evening, but still somehow had undigested food in her stomach at midnight?
Yeah. The official story didn't sit well with Andre, obviously. It made no sense to him that his perfectly healthy daughter had died suddenly in her sleep. Despite her death being attributed to natural causes by the German doctors, Andre decided to conduct an investigation of his own. After all, he had more than enough reason to not trust Germans at this point, sure. Kalinka's case had been closed suspiciously fast. Information regarding her death was also hard for Andre to get his hands on. More than a week passed before he was even given the autopsy results. It was in the autopsy notes that Andre found the first proof that Kalinka's death wasn't as natural as the doctors claimed.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app.
Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get 6-ounce packs of juicy raspberries or blackberries for $1.88 each with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And from my understanding, he didn't even know that they were going to be doing an autopsy at the time. Like, all of a sudden, he just found out that they did the autopsy.
He's
and was like,
okay, can I see that, maybe? Yeah.
No.
So you're going to have to jump through some...
Yeah. Had to go through the German bureaucracy to get a hold of that, which is notoriously tough. In the autopsy report, the pathologist had noted that noted the stomach contents in Kalinka's lungs, but also listed another number of other anomalies that hadn't been investigated. Firstly, Dieter Krombach, Kalinka's stepfather, had insisted on being present at the autopsy. Krombach claimed that he had been at the clinic but had not overseen the autopsy. Considering the circumstances of Kalinka's death, Krombach shouldn't have been allowed anywhere near the autopsy.
Right, but he was like this doctor that kind of used that to get in rooms, do things like, oh, I'm a doctor. Oh, don't worry. Take this tincture. Take this thing. No, you do it. I'm a doctor. In, like, the neighborhood, and anytime anyone went to the hospital for anything, he was like, one of those. That was like, no, I got it. I know better than whatever the doctors, you know what I mean? And so they kind of go, all right, I guess you're a doctor. You can be here without maybe even knowing what the real connection is. I mean, they knew, but, like, they were like, well, he's a doctor, okay.
Yeah, and he was well-known and fairly respected in the area. He had formerly been, he was a staff physician at an embassy and, like, worked closely with the government and stuff like that. He had good connections. And
yes, so he was
well-respected.
Almost...
He had some weight behind...
Right, so he was almost more, like, he pulled rank anytime he was in a situation with other doctors or nurses or anything that he felt was, you know.
Below
and when
him.
You're dealing with, like, a family member, you're like, okay, like, and the doctors don't know shit, whatever.
Yeah. Next, Andre hadn't been fully informed of the condition of his daughter's body. During the autopsy, multiple injection sites were found on her arms. When he inquired about these, Krombach claimed that he had given her a number of shots in an attempt to revive her after he found her in the morning. I'd be curious to know how old some of these injection sites were, like whether or not he'd been giving her injections on a regular basis for a while, or if this was just a one-time thing.
I think, but he did say that he had given her something when he found her unresponsive, and it was something to kind of, you know, almost like adrenaline or something to like try and bring her back. But what they did end up finding was nothing like that.
Yeah.
It wasn't something that would like bring you back. It was almost a sedative.
Yeah, I have a suspicion that a lot of the injection sites were old. They didn't happen post-mortem.
Because he had been giving the tanning or, the Colvart, whatever injections a lot.
The last anomaly that Andre found was the condition of his daughter's genitals. This part's going to be a little awkward to read.
All right.
The autopsy had discovered a superficial vaginal tear, which the official report said happened post-mortem, but I'm not so sure. I mean,
The vaginal stuff?
They said that the vaginal tear happened post-mortem.
Again, the Germans, I'm sorry.
Good with machines, people.
I mean, the sexual stuff they do is...
She was leaking oil or something?
Yeah.
So it discovered a superficial tear along with fresh blood around the outside of her vagina. Dead bodies don't bleed, so the bleeding would have happened before her death.
Sorry, guys.
A white substance was also found inside of her vaginal canal, which the pathologist failed to test or even take a sample of. When Andre pressed for additional testing to be done, he was informed that wouldn't be possible. At some point, which in some situations it is normal for them to do this, her genitals had been completely removed.
Oh.
But they lost them. Whoops. So they couldn't do any further testing.
I've never known a German to lose some genitals. They're keeping them somewhere for something.
Andre knew at that moment that someone was covering up the real story of how Kalinka died.
Yeah, I think we're all thinking that, right? I think it's pretty...
Genitals are pretty hard to lose track of. I mean, I'm not in the medical field, but I would imagine that, you know, it's kind of hard to just misplace them. Are you going to find them in your desk drawer a month later? Like, oh, shit.
Yeah, it's not like that bag of evidence. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's...
It's not like a bag of cocaine that just suddenly goes missing from the evidence.
Right. Well, it's for the Germans, it's basically a bag of cocaine, and someone fucking took it. Andre knew that Krambach was responsible for his daughter's death. Unfortunately, the German authorities were firmly on the Nazi doctor's side. Who knew? The police refused to reopen the case and even threatened legal action if Andre kept questioning the results. So Andre took matters into his own hands. Only Germany, right, would be like, we're going to put you in jail if you even ask one more question about your daughter's death. Right? Like, just stop.
Yeah, we ask the questions.
How is that something he could be arrested for? But anyway, in 1983, Andre flew to Landau, Germany, and began distributing flyers with a picture of his daughter on them. Printed on the leaflets was an accusation claiming that Dieter Krambach had raped and murdered the 14-year-old girl. The flyers implored the citizens of Landau to demand that the case be reopened. The plan worked, and soon people began to suspect that Dr. Krambach wasn't one of the good Nazi doctors. He was one of the bad ones. Oh, Coop, if we didn't know where you stood before... With, like, keep asking him to play Hitler stuff. I was like, I just wanted a normal person. And you're like, make it Hitler. You know what I mean?
I wear my heart on my sleeve right above the red armband.
Right. And I think this was even where he was distributing. I think it was, like, a big festival that they have, right? Almost like a whatever. What's the Oktoberfest type thing? So it was like this huge...
Would have been around the right time for that.
Yeah, so it was like at this huge festival, and he's there just passing out these crazy... People are like, oh, what's this for, a party? Oh, God,
I mean, goddamn, he's making something go viral pre-internet.
Right?
And he went there and did it all on his own, printed everything out, and just literally going around handing out flyers like, hey, you know this Dieter Krambach guy? Yeah, he raped and murdered my daughter.
Yeah, so if you could just kind of, you know, keep that in your back pocket until you're not drunk anymore... That would be great. Find it tomorrow and be like, what is this? Yeah. No, he was on a mish.
In response to the accusations, Krombach sued Andre for defamation.
Sure.
And the courts ruled in favor of Krombach. Mm. Andre was ordered to pay 500,000 German marks in restitution.
What's that like in American?
I don't know what the conversion rate for Monopoly money is. I can look it up.
Delco, you know? 500,000. Like, I know it sounds like a lot. What, you know?
Like, what is it today?
Or, like, what is that American?
You gotta account for inflation.
Right. Yeah, I'm saying, like, at the time, if we can just find out that, we can do inflation ourselves.
Yeah, with...
Sounds like a fucking lot. That's all I'm saying. But I bet it's, like, not.
I can't imagine their economy back then was good.
You what?
Their economy was kind of in the toilet at that point. That's the reason Hitler rose to power.
Right?
So the current conversion rate, that's still about $263,000.
Oh, shit. Okay. So that's like, you're fucked, Andre.
Yeah, well, not so much, because Andre responded to the court order by giving them the finger and telling them to go fuck themselves. He wasn't going to pay a single penny to the man that killed his daughter. He did, however, agree to not return to Germany and hand out more flyers. But they didn't say anything about mailing them. So the grieving father began sending hundreds and hundreds of leaflets to Lindau through the mail. Krombach once again found himself in the public eye.
Love it.
This time, the leaflets caught the attention of a well-known German lawyer named Rolf Bossi. Rolf agreed to take on Andre's case and succeeded in putting Dieter Krombach back on trial, for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, after a 5-year legal battle, Krombach was once again cleared of any wrongdoing. He had officially been exonerated by the German legal system.
So that's it. Like, that was your shot, and that's it.
Yeah, and once he was cleared, they weren't going to be able to try him for it again without getting the entire European legal council involved.
Yeah, we know that. Germany had decided that Krombach was innocent, but Andre wasn't about to give up. He made it his life's goal to bring him to justice, no matter how long it took. Using his own money, Andre had his daughter's body exhumed, and a second autopsy was conducted by French doctors. I mean, at this point, this is his entire life.
Yeah.
He's an accountant, but like every other second is dedicated to making this stuff happen because they make it very hard for him.
And you have to be really desperate to be willing to leave your daughter's body with French doctors.
No shit. During the procedure, the pathologist found that the initial autopsy had been poorly performed, and no shit, and the timeline had been slightly fudged. The original report stated that Kalinka had been injected with the cobalt iron solution multiple hours before her death, but the French doctors were able to disprove this. The condition of his injections, of the injection site, and the presence of undigested food in Kalinka's lungs proved that she had been given the injection less than an hour before her death. The injection Krombach had given Kalinka the night before was ruled as the cause of her death. The cobalt or something else? Because there was a couple things found.
From my understanding, the cobalt iron injection, it can act as a sedative.
Okay.
And that's...
So if you've given enough at the right time, it can... kill you.
It can, some people can have really bad reactions to it. I think that it might have just been more than she normally got.
Okay.
Possibly.
At a time. I think there has something to do with when you eat too, how it like reacts.
Mm-hmm.
So like if she was given it like right when she was eating or something like this at a certain time, it would have taken, because it's that kind of, like you're saying,
mm-hmm.
reacts differently with different things.
Yeah. So with this new evidence, Andre was able to have Krombach put on trial in France in absentia 10 years after the second autopsy was performed. So it's not like the second autopsy was performed and like, all right, let's put him on trial.
Mm-mm.
No, he still had to lobby for 10 years to get another trial. But in his in France's defense, which, God, I can't believe I even said that.
Don't.
It is hard getting, you know, a new trial opened up, especially in absentia, you know, charging somebody that's out of the country.
All right.
Not saying
that's
it's good.
That's about the only thing you're going to fucking say like that again.
Trust me, I don't want to say it anything else nice about the French.
Yeah, it didn't feel good.
No, it didn't. I feel a little sick.
Yeah.
It took André a decade of lobbying to finally convince the French government to charge Crombach with involuntary manslaughter. Finally, in 1995, nearly 20 years after Kalinka's death, Crombach was convicted and sentenced to 15 years in prison in France.
Okay.
Dieter Crombach responded to the conviction in much the same way André had responded to the order to pay restitution. He gave the French government the finger and dared them to come get him. German authorities refused to extradite Crombach despite his conviction. He not only didn't serve any prison time, he was able to successfully have the conviction overturned in 2001 by the European Court of Human Rights. And this is so fucking ridiculous. They also ordered the French government to pay him 100,000 francs for his trouble. So he came out on top big time.
God, the French can't do fucking shit. Right, dude.
See, and there goes all the little bit of respect that I had for the French for that last part.
Yeah, but then they can't fucking uphold it. And they're like, oh, okay. And just like, all right.
Oh, and they learned their lesson the first time after going up against Germany. Yeah, exactly, they weren't going to do it again.
As stated earlier in the episode, André Bamberski had really good memory. So there's no chance of him forgetting about Crombach and moving on. André was also very intelligent and calculating. No matter how long it took or how much it cost, he was going to find a way to bring his daughter's killer to justice. While André was lobbying to get Crombach convicted in France, he was also three knuckles deep in a secret investigation into the doctor's life. Fuck. Over the course of 20 years, André was able to compile a file that contained every detail of Crombach's life, including the time he was investigated for murder and the time he was convicted of rape.
So Crombach is definitely not one of the good German doctors. It turns out he had a bit of a track record. In 1970, Dr. Crombach's first wife suddenly and mysteriously died. The details of the case were suspiciously close to those surrounding Kalinga's death. Although Crombach was the prime suspect, the investigation was unable to gather enough evidence to charge him with murder. But that wasn't the good doctor's last run-in with the law. In 1997, great year, Crombach was once again under investigation. This time...
Wait, is that the Nicolas Cage year? Or is it 98?
That's still up in the air. 97 is the year that Starship Troopers came out. 13th Warrior.
And Con Air. And Face Off, right?
Still up in the air on that one.
It's proven coup! You sound like Crombach right now.
Yes, that's the year that...
Okay, I'm just wondering.
Con Air and Face Off came out.
Joel's not here. He'll only admit it if Joel isn't here.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm sure he'll hear the recording later, and I'm never going to hear the end of it.
You and him are going to cut it out, I bet. You guys are going to get together and cut that part out, I bet.
I fucking hope, just like the German government. Get rid of all those parts you don't want to talk about.
Exactly.
Investigators were... So he got accused by multiple young, like, underage female patients of Crombach drugging them and then raping them while they were sedated.
Right.
Investigators were unable to gather enough physical evidence in many of the cases, but they were able to charge him with drugging and raping a 16-year-old girl. During his trial, Crombach confessed to the crime, and he was given a whopping 2-year suspended sentence. That means that he's not going to do any time unless he goes out and rapes another girl. But no, you can just keep doing what you're doing, but we're keeping our eye on you.
Yep. Gosh, they take care of their own, huh?
Oh, yeah, they do. He was just following orders. Following his conviction, Crombach had his medical license revoked and was barred from ever practicing medicine again. The slap on the wrist Crombach got for drugging and raping a minor apparently wasn't enough to teach him any lessons. He was once again put on trial in 2006 for practicing medicine without a license. So he was practicing medicine again for multiple years before he got busted again.
Yeah.
Crombach only ended up serving 11 months of his 28-month sentence, but during that time, multiple young women came forward to accuse him of drugging them with the same iron cobalt mixture and raping them afterwards. It's the exact same crime that Andre was accusing him of. There's actually an interview with, it's all in German, it's part of a foreign documentary specifically about Kalinka's case, where they interviewed two of the girls that accused him of drugging and raping them.
Oh my God.
And it was a big scandal in Germany at the time, like probably the biggest scandal since the 40s. Is it available
to watch subtitles?
I couldn't find it with any subtitles. I could only find references to it and then just an unsubtitled version.
Yeah, this case, much like Krombach, is very underreported on.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we're only like the third podcast of the 500 million crime podcast that have done it.
Yeah, there was a German documentary that was made about it around the same time that Krombach, like just shortly after he got accused of drugging and raping the 16-year-old girl, there was a documentary that came out about it, and there was one, it was like a made-for-TV movie that either came out in France or Germany.
My God, I wish, if I got a leaflet in the mail about, like, look into this, would that not be a dream? I mean, who is getting this leaflet and being like, whatever, and, like, not being like, wait, what is this?
Hell yeah, I'm going to look into that.
The other thing about his first wife, who was 24, I think, at the time, he had gone in, like I said, pulling his doctor dick out. And while she was, like, she was sick and in the bed, he kind of, like, pushes people away and gives her an injection. So when she died and they looked into it, they said they ended up ruling it, like, she had taken too much of a birth control for too long, or the certain kind of birth control that she took eventually led to her death. Now, she had had two kids already. She was only 24. How long could she be on this birth control pill that is killing people like this, right? So this is the kind of shit that he just, like, gets away with. Like, he went into the hospital room, pushed a doctor out of the way, and injected his wife with something.
That's unreal. I mean, it's...
They love this guy. I'm telling you. They love him. He literally can get away with murder and rape after murder and rape.
That's how the Nazis like their German doctors?
No kidding. They're like, you know what? We kind of like him. They're like, no, he's not a good guy. They're like, there's something about you my like, right?
I like the cut of his jib.
I kind of like him, right? Despite other victims coming forward, the German authorities still refused to charge Krombach with any crimes or extradite him to France to serve his 15-year prison sentence. It had been nearly 30 years since Kalinka's death, which was the statute of limitations for his crimes in France. If Andre was going to get justice for his daughter, he would have to take matters into his own hands. If Krombach wouldn't come to France willingly, Andre was going to drag him there kicking and screaming.
Now, this is where, if I were Andre, that's when I would have started getting more desperate also. Because if the statute of limitations lapses, even though he was convicted, even if he does somehow get back, like somebody gets him back to France, they're not going to be able to do anything.
Doesn't matter. Now he can roam freely wherever and doesn't have to worry about it. He can go back to France and just fucking
walk around giving them all the finger, which honestly anybody can do these days because they're all a bunch of pussies. But like,
yeah,
he'd
we
be
hope
able
that
to
you do.
Legally do it.
Yeah.
Crime juice.
So in 2009, so now Andre's like, I'm fucking, fuck this. I'm older. It's been 30 years. I'm doing this.
Tried to do it the right way.
Now
didn't
I'm
going to
do it.
Now I'm going to do it my way.
The right way.
Yeah, the really right way.
In 2009, Andre met a refugee from Kosovo named Anton
Krasnicki. I thought it was I kept typing it as Krasinski.
John
Krasinski the whole time. Krasnicki. We actually have a picture of him.
All right.
And tell me this doesn't look like the kind of guy that you want in your corner when you need to do some shady shit.
Fucking let's go, dude.
He's a fixer right here.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Like he looks like something
he's from
even
Kosovo too.
Oh, he's seen some shit.
Dude, he doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah. And from what I can tell, like, he was already a refugee at the time. So he probably left Kosovo because of some bad shit that happened in Kosovo, too.
For sure. He goes, try me, dude. Who's this guy? Show me a picture of him. Oh, I got it.
I'll handle it. I don't know what a Kosovo
accent. What's a Kosovo accent?
I don't know. I'm assuming, like, another
Eastern, like a little bit of, like, a Russian.
Yeah, something like a Russian or Latvian or, I don't know, all Eastern European accents sound the same to me.
Show me picture. Maybe, like, I always do everyone, like a Kvetas accent, right? If I'm hanging out with her, I could do all these fucking great, but.
If you just expand on, at least you don't have a retarded baby.
Yes, yes. The
I think you got the right
yeah,
idea.
I think she was, she was from some Kosovo, probably. So Anton, here we fucking go, dude. Anton had a strong back, some close friends, and a burning hatred for child killers. Like you. I like you, dude. Long story short, he was exactly the type of guy Andre was looking for.
So there's
just picture though the accountant and this guy rolling around. So one's like for legitimacy, right? And then this guy comes and just fucking
he's the muscle. And so there's two different versions of the story. The one that Anton actually tells, I don't know if Andre corroborated it because Andre's dropped off the map these days. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would too.
Yeah.
But according to Anton, he was going to do it for free, and Andre was like, "No, I've been saving up money to get this done. I've got 19,000 francs, which I mean, you know, God knows what that converts to. It's probably like $20."
Yeah, exactly. I got $20 bucks for you.
I got $20, dude. Just you're doing this for me. Just take it. He's like, "If I finish the job, I'll take it."
God, just two stand up fucking underground hardcore killers. I love it. Anton was already, where am I? So Anton was already familiar with Kalinka's case and was more than happy to help Andre in any way that he could.
In October of 2009, Andre received word that Krombach was getting ready to move to West Africa in order to get out of the spotlight. And throughout this, pretty much this entire period,
he was gonna flee. Yeah.
He was constantly moving from place to place in Germany, and he was becoming harder and harder to track. Because Andre just would not get off of his ass and even told him in person once, I will never rest. You are never going to get away from me until you pay for what you did. And that's when he started moving around even more because he knew that Andre meant business.
So he can take solace in the fact that he's like, he made his life hell.
Absolutely.
For a long time. Any reports of what happened to the fucking piece of shit wife or?
Nothing.
Nothing. All right.
As far as I know, he's probably still married to her.
There you go.
So Krombach was going to move to West Africa in order to get out of the spotlight. If the doctor made it to Africa, the chances of him ever spending time in prison for his crimes was practically zero. So Andre told Anton that it was time to enact their plan. With a couple of his friends in tow, Anton drove to the home of Dieter Krombach in Schiedig, Bavaria. Once there, they waited outside of his home until the disgraced doctor came outside. Once they spotted him, the three men leapt out of their car and began brutally beating the 74-year-old serial rapist.
Let's go.
Wanted to make sure to mention that he's a fucking serial rapist, so it doesn't matter that he was 74 years old.
No.
He's got a lifetime of beatings that need to be made up for. After fracturing his skull and knocking him unconscious, the men drove back to France, where they chained Krombach to a fence just a few hundred yards from the police station. And that was all part of the plan that Anton and Andre had worked out, is they were like, we're going to bring him back to France, chain him up. Anton actually told Andre, like, okay, this is the town in France that we're going to take him to.
Yeah.
Go there and find a hotel. We'll let you know when the job's done, and then you tell the police where he is. And that's what he did.
Upon receiving word that Krombach had been successfully brought to France, Andre called the local police station and informed them of Krombach's location. Although Andre tried to disguise his voice, police were able to quickly determine that it had been him that orchestrated the kidnapping. Soon after Krombach was found and arrested, police tracked down Andre at a local hotel where he was taken into custody. Following his arrest, Dieter Krombach was once again charged and put on trial for involuntary manslaughter. After a lengthy legal battle, Krombach was convicted in 2011 and sentenced to 15 years in prison.
Yes, fucking got him.
Gosh. Andre's 30-year crusade for justice had finally ended. Krombach served 9 years of his sentence before being released in February of 2020 due to severe health issues and COVID, I'm sure. You don't think about the things that COVID fucks up. But this guy was fucking released because of it.
He didn't have a good death, though. From all reports, it was just him in this hospice, essentially.
So once he was released?
Slowly dying by himself. Yeah.
Okay, so he was released, but basically right into hospice.
Yeah, okay. Straight into hospice.
Okay. He was only free for a few months before dying alone in a care home for the elderly, which, I'd rather die on the streets.
That's a face worse than death. And it was only a few months. He was released in February, and he died at the beginning of September. So he just spent the last few, quote-unquote, free months of his life just
laying
in a bed waiting to die.
COVID, was it? Because that was March 2020? So it was literally right before.
Unless he was patient zero, then...
wouldn't that be fucking great?
That'd be an even better story.
We're just going to say that he was. Just kidding. Play fast and loose with the facts around here.
Hit out in Wuhan for a little while before
There you go.
Andre Bomberski was charged with kidnapping in 2009 by both the French and German governments. I might have to give France a little bit more credit here coming up, but I swear to God it's going to be the last time.
I told you the last time was the last time. All right, go ahead.
German officials demanded that Andre be extradited to stand trial in Germany. France responded by cooperating just as much as Germany had when they wanted to extradite Krombach.
Okay.
That is to say, they gave the Krauts the finger and told them to get fucked.
Okay.
So they weren't going to extradite him. They were going to keep him there. And what they follow it up with, I think, is even better. In May of 2014, Andre was put on trial for kidnapping in Toulouse, France. In court, Andre willingly confessed that he had planned the beating and kidnapping of Dieter Krombach. After a short 3-day trial, he was found guilty and given a whopping 1-year suspended prison sentence. Andre Bomberski never spent a single day in jail. There is currently no public information on where Andre is or what he went on to do after his 30-year quest for revenge. But I like to think that he's living peacefully in a nice cottage in France, close enough to Germany that he can drive there every year on the anniversary of his daughter's death and piss on Dieter Krombach's grave.
Ugh. I bet.
So they convicted him, but it's like, all right, yeah.
But also...
don't kidnap anybody else or else you're going to jail.
But also in the trial, I'm sure he was able to, state his case.
Absolutely.
And people are like, well... And... I think at this point, between Germany and France, a lot of people probably knew, especially into the 2020s, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm sure people, or 2014, I'm sure people had known enough about this. Where? Did my thing just go off?
Oh, yeah, battery died.
Well, look.
That was the end of it anyway.
That was the end of it anyway, but oh my gosh. And would I do the same? You fucking bet your ass.
Goddamn right.
Although I probably would have killed somebody and then just, gone to jail. The way that he did it was to ensure that the maximum amount of people knew about this guy and that he was brought to justice without Andre himself. I mean, he already knew that the authorities were not on his side, right?
Yeah.
So if he did anything violent off the bat... they would just put him in jail and that would be it. And then Dieter would be doing whatever he wants to do all over the place.
Yeah, and also...
So he did it in the right way. With all odds.
It really doesn't seem like Andre has a bad bone in his body because he spent nearly 30 years trying to do it the right way. And it wasn't until the very end where Krombach was at risk of getting away for good that he finally decided to do it his own way. And I think that the way that he did it is absolutely...
Look at this guy. You would, I know. You wouldn't think, huh? But this guy is a stone cold.
Now, like little mustache he's got.
Oh, is it a? I can't see. Is it a little mustache?
Yeah.
Is it gray?
It is gray.
Oh yeah.
Oh, this is why we can't see it. All right.
Yeah,
I've
seen that picture a bunch of times and didn't even notice
didn't see the mustache. All right. Well.
I like him even more now.
Because, like I'm saying, with him juxtaposed against Kosovo, Hitman, what a great team.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's what you want, right?
You know what it looks like is the Homer Simpson stubble underneath his
okay.
nose.
Oh, okay. So it's not quite like a mustache.
I think it is a mustache, but it looks like the way they color it in the Simpsons.
Right.
Oh, maybe mustaches work different in Poland.
Yeah, you know, gosh.
They haven't quite figured them out yet.
That's what's so hard about this case is that when it is 30 years, when it's Germany, when it's France, you know, you go, well, of course. Of course shit wasn't done right, and he had, this accountant had to take it into his own hands.
At least it's a real country, right?
I guess.
Like, if it happened in, I don't know, Pakistan, it doesn't really hit the same.
Oh, yeah. Like, if we do any cases, sorry, but, like, if you do any cases in those type of places, you go, well, I mean, fuck.
Like, they're even, lucky they didn't get dragged away by a tiger.
Right. Like, even India, sometimes I go, well, I mean, they're
always
allowed
India.
To fucking kill their own, you know, family for honor. Kill. You know, it's all fucky.
Every story in India is like an elephant got revenge and killed, like, an entire village and
right.
went back to the funeral.
Or an honor killing that's like, oh, the daughter did something fucked up, so we're okay with the dad. You know what I mean? Like, it's a little bit crazy.
Yeah, I mean, talk about an oversaturated market. You know, somebody says, oh, do a murder case from Pakistan. Which fucking one, dude? The one from today or yesterday?
There's less cases of not murder.
Yeah. There's less cases of people just, like, living normal lives and, like... Anyways, this is a good one, Coop.
I really, really liked the story in this episode.
It's very underreported.
Very, very underreported, and it's tragic that Kalinka died, but holy shit, Andre set a good example for what fathers should do.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Germans, though, kind of do hold the mantle for, like, serial killers. It's, like, kind of where it started, I feel.
You think with...
I mean, there are plenty of serial killers way before, like, Germanic tribes and everything.
Oh, so you think... Well, now, you're right in that getting away with it, right?
Like, the modern serial killer, I think Germany.
Okay.
I'd kind of go along with that. I think there might be one from South America that predate... Or no, that was after... Because you're talking about...
It's always, like, 1700s or 1800s where it's like, oh, there was the... A Dusseldorf vampire.
Oh, yeah. I did that with you guys, right?
Yeah, that was a case that I was thinking of. The one that does predate that was actually French, and it was Guy de Ray, who was the right-hand man of Joan of Arc. And he was, I mean, they obviously no forensic evidence anymore, but the theory is he was a serial rapist and killer of little boys. Like, that's what he would do. Joan of Arc's right-hand man, that's what he would do in his free time, is he would abduct, rape, and kill little
But,
kids.
Like, is it weird that just, at that time, doesn't sound...
It doesn't
surprise me.
That's the Middle Ages.
Right? Yeah, I go, yeah.
I feel like you have to have a modern legal system for it to be a serial killer, because back then it was just kind of a
two-step. And a modern societal moral thing that mm-hmm. we're all kind of living by, right? Where it's like, back then, what was it?
Yeah, because with Guy de Ray...
Take care of your fucking self and your family and at all costs,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, and since Guy de Ray was essentially a noble, it's like, oh, well, nobles kill people all the time. That's not serial killing. That's just a noble being a noble.
Yeah.
They're doing God's work.
Yeah, you know, I think the first... If we're talking about olden times...
Yes?
The first, like... Male on male prolapse was probably right 100% back then.
Definitely from France, also.
I
argue that it's definitely.
Oh, you can't argue. Okay, what you want to keep?
The first like male prolapse, male on male. That's uh-huh. definitely the ancient Greeks.
Okay, that's what I was kind of thinking,
ooh,
but like
true.
My
Greeks invented the threesomes. Romans invited women. That's the whole joke.
When was Joan of Arc?
Oh, what was that?
Way after that?
Way after, yeah.
Yeah.
That was way after.
Like 1500s, 1600s?
Listen, I don't fucking know about history. I know about prolapses, though. And I'm going to argue with you about that.
Joan of Arc was 1430s.
All right, I guess you're right then. I was successfully corrected as far as the first male-on-male prolapse, to the point where they're like, this is fucking cool. Right? It's not an injury. This is cool. It would be then, I think.
We just did an episode on softcore history for the Patreon about Tiberius and his Epstein-type island.
Of dudes?
Of little toddlers.
Oh, gee. Oh, Delco! No! No! Uh-uh!
He called them...
You will not sully the prolapse fucking...
Well, he used to call them his little fishes.
Delco, no! Keep it for softcore. You guys want that kind of shit, you go to softcore Patreon, and they will give you all of that shit.
All the little boy diddling you want.
And don't worry, we won't know it's you going there, but my God, it's a different Patreon. Holy shit. Just kidding. That was good.
I know. And the funniest part, though, you know what Rob's kids, the swim class that they go to, what it's called?
Little fishes.
It is little fishes, isn't it? He goes to little fishes.
It really fucked him up.
Never trust strangers with your children.
Nope. Ever.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.